All right, I have a few announcements before we head into our book discussion for today. First, I am excited to announce that this is our 100th book club episode. It's hard to believe we've already reached this milestone. I'm looking forward to many more and hope you can join us. Next month, on February 3rd at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have our first coffee and books event with authors Misty Embeller, Jody Basie, Lynn Shannon, and Abby Downey. Join us for an hour of book talk with these amazing authors. This is a free event, but you will need to sign up to participate, and you can find the link to join below this blog post. I can't wait to talk books with you on February 3rd. Our next expert training for authors will be on February 17th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Indie and traditionally published author Sarah R. Turnquist will be diving into formatting software for authors. Her training will look at three formatting softwares: Vellum, Atticus, and Scrivener. She will provide a brief overview of formatting in general, and then we'll discuss some pros and cons of each software. This training is free for HCRW members and is $17 for non-members. You can find a link to join below this blog post. And I have to say, Sarah, this is, I believe, her third time doing a training with us. She is so detailed-oriented, and really, you walk away knowing so much more than you did when you started the session with her. She's a wonderful instructor. All right, now, authors, this is another announcement for you. I am ecstatic to share that I will be launching the Writer's Wednesday episodes on February 14th, on Valentine's Day. These podcast episodes will bring you advice from authors and experts in the publishing industry. In kicking off this brand new line of episodes, we have interviews with historical Christian romance authors, and they share insider tips and their top three go-to tools. So stay tuned for this Writer's Wednesday launch. So now let's jump into this week's episode, but I wanted to let everyone know that if you hear a lag between our responses or any little blips, it is because we recorded online instead of in person. Thanks to Old Man Winter, he brought us icy roads and blizzard-like conditions on our recording day. So we all stayed home, and unfortunately, it's also cold and flu season, so we were down to just Jamie and I. But I hope you enjoyed this discussion with Jamie and me. Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. In this episode,
Jamie
and Melissa will be discussing Even Forever by Robin Lee Hatcher. The last thing Rosalie Tompkins wants is another man trying to control her life. Her abusive jailbird father and her ne'er-do-well brother have cured her of that. Not even the wealthy visitor staying in her mother's boarding house can tempt her. She plans to leave Boulder Creek as soon as she can scrape together the funds to do so, and when she does, she won't ever look back. Michael Randolph is in a high-stakes competition for the family business and intends to beat his half-brother no matter what. So when an innocent encounter with Rosalie threatens to cost him everything he hopes to achieve, he's willing to pay the price demanded by her no-good father, even if it means marrying a damsel in distress. Strangers placed in an impossible position, Michael and Rosalie can agree on one thing. Neither of them wants to stay together any longer than they must. What they don't know is that fate might have a better future in store for them than either could imagine.
All right. So, interesting back cover copy. It's very intriguing. So I have to ask, how did you react to Rosalie and how her brother treated her at the beginning?
It was, I don't know, it wasn't surprising, I guess. I read this one like right away, so some of it's fuzzy, but it wasn't surprising just seeing the way he acted, the way the family was, knowing little bits, the clues that about her dad. It wasn't surprising that he did, but it was just, her reaction surprised me, I guess.
Yeah, so okay. The back cover really says her dad and brother are really not that great, right?
Yes,
but, yeah. It's a very dysfunctional family, and her brother, she had saved all this money up because she was going to leave before her dad ever got back. And then her brother stole it. And I was shocked that she had the guts to confront him. And then, of course, he like beats her up for it. But yeah. I that's why I was curious how you reacted, because I didn't think she would do that.
I don't know. It's like, I mean, everybody has a breaking point, and it was obvious something had to happen. Like, she was going to break.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to like say it without giving too much away, because it was just it was a good part, like just the way her brother acted. I mean, even what he was doing when she confronted him, it was just the audacity, and just she had to react. There was no other, I don't see how any human being could just turn the other cheek to that.
Yeah. And she was like begging Michael after that point to just, yeah, I'll pay you money back, but just send me away, right?
Yeah.
So what was your, or what did you think about Rosalie's relationship with her mother?
That was hard. That was frustrating for me. It was sad. To me, it was just really sad because, I mean, it's obvious they love each other, but her mother's fear and just, she was so afraid that it was just, this is just how it is. And she was willing to accept that. And Rosalie couldn't. But she understood. And I think that's what made it so sad, is that she could psychologically look at it and like, okay, I get it. But it just hurts. It's like, it's so awful. Even when she gave her a way out, like that fear just dominated her mom.
Yeah. Yeah. It was it's dysfunctional, of course, because the whole family is. But it was so odd to me. Because her mother was always just like, keep your head down and just deal with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is our lot in life. This is how women are treated. And
yes. It
was just, it was really weird. Because she never stood up for Rosalie, mm-mm, who was the one who stuck with her and helped her.
Yeah.
But she always stood up for her son.
Mm-hmm.
Who was terrible.
That was the most confusing relationship, I think, was the mom and the son.
Yes. I'm like, why are you so, I don't want to say connected or so on his side, to the point that you make Rosalie feel bad about herself, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a very interesting family dynamics there, for sure.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to the scene that led to Michael marrying Rosalie? Mm-hmm.
I was angry. It was so wrong. Like, it was a ploy from the beginning. But I was happy too, because it was like, hey, she might actually have a chance of getting out of there, and you know he's a good man. So it was kind of like this really stinks, but for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that man really creeped me out from the first time he showed up on the page. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see it from Michael's point of view too, because he felt like that family set him up, because he thought maybe they found out he came from money and they were going to attach his daughter to him. And I was like, oh, that, I would have never even gone down that road, but
yeah,
I could see it, but it was interesting his take on it. So.
Which that scenario is.
Did you enjoy?
There's always that little pause, so I never know.
You're okay, go ahead.
It is interesting though, because that scenario where, you know, he's dealing with wondering if he was set up the entire time, and things happen, and then later on in the book, there's another scenario where he does something, and I'm surprised that she immediately jumps to conclusions, seeing what he has gone through. Like just looking at the beginning parts of the book again, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she set that up well. I liked it, but it so did you enjoy the secondary love story with Yale and Skylark?
I really did. Yes.
It was this sweet love story that kind of it was the background love story, but it was opposite of Michael and Rosalie's. They yes. like complimented each other all the way through.
Yeah.
I loved Skylark and how she was just like, I love you, Yale. I know that I love you. So just we're going to be together, you know? And then I liked it when Yale finally was like, okay, I do love you. I've loved you for a long time, and kind of stood up to her dad, and then decided to make something of himself so that he could be worthy of her. So
yeah. And it's not for a side, like being the love story on the side. It was just really good. Even walking through that love story with him, like, you know, him finally giving in and, all right, I'm going to make something myself. The confrontations with him and her father were priceless. They were perfect. It was funny. And it was like, yep, absolutely. And then, what else is it? Later on, when they're out of town and her mom is talking to her, she's like, you know, this isn't how you're going to get your way. It was just neat because it was like, even though Skylark knew her mind, she understood that, okay, I am acting like a child. And if I want to be treated like an adult, I need to act as such. And it was an interesting story. It was just nice all the way through, but it wasn't just simple. It wasn't predictable. It was neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he was older than her. By like 10 years or something like that. And she was young. She was like 18, I think. And so you got to see her mature during that time that they were separated. So yeah, it was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised by Michael's dad's initial reaction to Rosalie and the offer he gave her to leave Michael?
He just grosses me out. Like,
he just was not nice to her at first.
No, he just he treated her as property.
I didn't like him at first.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just ugh.
Yeah, his mom was very sweet.
Yes,
from the beginning, but his dad surprised me. Like, I guess I didn't expect that from his dad.
I mean, looking back, I mean, you understand it to a point, I guess, because
it was interesting.
I mean, he's trying to protect his son in a way, but at the same time, it just, he was so forward and he didn't even have any of the details or anything. It was just, it was surprising that he wouldn't take his time to at least see what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. He kind of jumped to conclusions too, I think, about her. You know, oh, you just found out my son's rich. You know. So how did you react to how evil Rosalie's father was?
I don't know. It's the first character in a long time. Like, you don't like characters, but I wanted to, like, just reach in the book and just, like, strangle him. He was awful. He was a horrible human being. Ugh.
Especially when you're like, how could you treat your daughter that way? Because, like, he brought his cellmate home with him. That was
a
really creepy guy. I mean, he gave me the creep. but, and he's like, yeah, daughter's pretty, turned out to be pretty good looking. So, you know, he was like, almost like, you could pay me to sleep with my daughter. That's fine.
Yeah, it was just, she was property. It was just, are you kidding? Like, who doesn't want better for their kids? And it's just, I don't know. But again, like, you see how he acts, yeah. And then you look at his son and you're like, well, there you go.
Yeah, apple didn't fall far from that tree, did it?
No.
But I absolutely love, like, when he came and he was like, hey, your husband has money, your mom needs money, you know, all this stuff. And she stood her ground to him. I was so proud of her.
Yeah.
But I loved even more when he went to hit her and Michael stepped in. And of course, the dad's like, I have a right. I'm the dad. And he goes, you gave up that right when I married her. I was
I know. But that was the cool part, is because having him gave her that confidence and strength to be able to break free from that hold from her family. Like, she knew she was protected. He'd saved her before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was a turning point for him. Like, he had already figured out that he was falling in love with her before that. But I think that really pushed him over the edge, because his whole thing was, I think she set me up because she knew I had money. Right. And so then when he hears that conversation of her dad coming and saying, get the money from your husband, we need the money, and she stands up and says, absolutely not, I think that made him realize, oh, wow, she really isn't after my money. You know, it kind of gave him a little more freedom to say, it's okay for me to fall in love with her.
Yeah, I can trust her. It's good.
Yeah. Did you enjoy Michael and Rosalie's love story and the way he pursued her? Because, you know, and like we've said earlier, like, initially this was a forced marriage. And then he starts realizing, I loved that moment when he's just like watching her walk down the street from like his office window or something. And he realizes, like, he's thinking about all the things, I want to give her kids, I want to buy her the best clothes, I want to, and he goes, oh my word, I'm in love with my wife.
Yep. It was just like, oh.
And then it was like, from that moment on, from that moment on, then he's like, I have to prove to her, I have to win her, basically. So did you enjoy their love story and then that piece where he's pursuing her?
I did. And the things he did, and they're so, he was just so thoughtful. I just loved it. And I just keep going down to... See, I don't know if I don't want to spoil that one, but what he does for her mom is just so heartwarming. It's like, it's just, oh, that's love. Like, you look at it and it's like, that's love. Like, taking care of each other's family and giving the dad the offer to, you just want to hug him. Like, I really liked Michael Randall.
Yeah, that was the, I did too. He's a real sweetheart, even though he's a rich man. And at first I thought, I don't know if I'm going to like him, but he turned out really great. But I was going to say, all the payoffs in this book, that one was the best payoff. He paid her dad off to just get out of town and leave him alone.
Yep, just go away.
Did you enjoy the damsel in distress aspect of the story? Because this really was a full-on damsel in distress story.
Yeah, I did. I did.
I like it because, those are my favorite kind of stories, right? But I always go back to, I feel like, for me personally, this is a lot how I view Jesus, right? Because I feel like I'm the damsel in distress, like, all the time. But then here comes Jesus, like, always rescuing me and, like, helping me. And I don't know. So I love those love stories because it just reminds me of that love relationship that I have with Jesus of, like, I am the damsel and I'm okay with it, but I've got him. And he's always going to come rescue me. So,
And it's nice, though, in the, like, especially,
I don't know
in
if
this
you listen
story,
to Lauren. Yes.
Like, especially in this story, it's just that theme where it's like, you have to leave, trust. Like, trust is a huge theme in this and in a lot of books like this. But when you have that damsel in distress and they're trying to learn to trust, it hits different. I don't know how to say it. It just, I lost my thought, but
Yeah, no, I get it. And for each person, that looks different, right? Like somebody else mm-hmm. could have a totally different view on that relationship with Jesus than even I have. So I understand what you're saying. Like it hits different for every reader. Yeah. But I don't know if you ever listened to Lauren Daigle, but she has a song called Rescue. And the verses in it, I'm like, totally fit this book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As far as like, you know, it's all about even in the darkest night, I will come rescue you and I will never stop marching to mm-hmm. find you in the middle of the fight. And I'm like, yes, that's totally this captures this book, don't you think?
Yep.
So, all right. So what is your overall? I don't want to do the overall yet. Let's start with the individual elements. So how would you rate the romance level of this story? And we have espresso, which is an expression, like there's just an expression of it. Mocha, there's a medium amount. And latte, there's a lot.
We're rating the romance.
Yeah, the romance level.
Okay. I'm going to say espresso. I don't know. It's hard. It's like it's espresso or mocha because I think there's a lot of romance. But it was all subtle. It wasn't like romantic romance. It was sweet things.
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to say. And that's why I put it on espresso. But it. Yeah, it's the sweet things.
Yeah.
What level would you rate the suspense?
I'd say mocha. There was a lot that was unpredictable. There was
Yes, I did like espresso to mocha. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's this action, but it keeps you thinking about what's happening. It's like you already know what happened. But the suspense of how that story is going to play out. So it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. How about the action level?
I say mocha.
I did espresso on that one. There was action. Yeah, I could go mocha too with it. What about the mystery level?
Espresso.
I don't think there was really wasn't a mystery to solve. No. Yeah. How about the drama level?
The drama. Now that would definitely be a latte. There was a lot of dysfunctional drama in this book.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And finally, what would you rate the inspirational level?
I'm going to go mocha. I think there were strong. Yeah. See mocha.
I did the same thing. I think it was strong, but it wasn't over the top.
Yeah.
So. Great. So then finally, then what is your overall lasso rating of Even Forever by Robin Lee Hatcher?
Two.
Okay. I gave it a 2.5. And Tiffany texted me because she knows she's home sick today. So she said she read these in one weekend and she gave both of the books in this series 3 lassos. So I think we're averaging out to 2.5 lasses.
I'd agree with it.
Yeah, it definitely hooks you for sure. And I think sometimes the reason why we may not always go to a 3 is because we like different elements in our stories.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it doesn't always hit those for us. So. Yep. All right. Well, that was our discussion of Even Forever by Robin Lee Hatcher.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at www.literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.